Chapter 12, Lily. Bill led them to the FBI office only blocks away in the vast concrete landscape of Government Center to the FBI. They were greeted in the lobby by the agent on complaint duty, a tall man with angular features, who led them past the entry wall plastered with most wanted posters. He led them down the hall to a dark conference room where fluorescent lights hung like a giant ice cube tray high over the beat-up wooden table where a middle-aged man with piercing blue eyes was waiting. He stood up from the table and shook Bill's hand.
"Good to see you, Bill. What can I do for you?"
After introductions, Kylie routinely requested Stuart's confidentiality before showing him OMG to Stuart and Bill amused smirks. She already had misgivings. Her choices had been to make up some bogus story the FBI they would see through anyway, or reveal what she was really doing to detail Misha's horrific findings. This was way too big to worry about her own consequences, and now, to put it mildly, she had a sinking feeling they might not be so great. She gave Misha a nod to take over. He showed the contents of the Lily folder from his computer and explained, "I was clicking around in the program and found this file. It shows here how there's a virus that will kill within hours of contact. The victims would have to touch it or ingest it. Looks like it's set to go for this Friday." Stuart broke the stunned silence that hung like a bad smell over the room. "You're saying that you were just clicking around and you got this on someone else's computer? Am I hearing that right?" Misha nodded, looking terrified. Kylie interjected, "That might not be the point right now. We have a crisis and need your help. But if you want to go there, I can explain. I wasn't just snooping. I have a startup, and we designed a powerful database program meant to help people with their lives. At least that was my goal. I began to suspect this guy, Jerry Fox, might be involved in some shady activities. I paid Misha to open some encrypted files on his computer."
"Okay, let me get this right. You have a business that snoops? Unbelievable. That's even better. Why were you looking at Fox's data in the first place? That's where we're supposed to come in. You're breaking the law. You know that, right?"
"Yes, I admit that I did this, but I'm not a bad person. I might have done something not quite on the level, but it's so that some good will come of it. I promise you, it's not for personal gain. I'm trying to help," said Kylie.
"Well, that doesn't make it any more legal. How does this program of yours work anyway?" asked Stuart. He appeared exasperated and was now stroking his chin. Kylie began,
"Of course you've heard of phishing, right? It's that thing when someone sends a fake email, it looks just like it's from a credible organization or business. They ask you to update your profile. Once you do, they send you a link to a page to update your password that will explode in your computer like a data bomb. Well, it works by crawling around on your computer to find a browser that needs updating. Then it inserts some code so they can capture keystrokes. It allows them to control a webcam and microphones and even see your files. Well, my program can do the same thing, but it can also search into financials and phone records, anything I query without phishing. It clusters the programs it needs to target and then picks up recorded keystrokes and can open any program from the user's computer. It could give direct access to everything." Kylie caught Misha's admiring look. She appreciated it, until she noticed his gaze had slipped down to her chest. She looked away, annoyed he'd be checking out her body instead of focusing on the crisis. What a jerk.
"And you thought of this all by yourself?"
"Only the idea, but not the technical part. I hired someone to build it. Unfortunately, he's the guy that turned up dead in a garlic field."
"Unbelievable. Anyway, how do you know this virus plot is real?" Stuart asked.
Kylie answered,
"We don't know for sure, but my guess, it's very real. The people involved were connected to Visiozyme. Do you remember that Natalie Saltz murder? She worked there, right? Wasn't it from some kind of deadly virus? At any rate, I certainly wouldn't want to take that chance, would you? It's headed by Jerry Fox, and we think he's a bad guy. That's why we're looking at his files in the first place. Evidently, he has a secret lab in Chinatown over a bubble tea place called Lily's.
When did you find out about this? Stuart leaned into the screen, his hands on his hips. His reddened face wore an expression of disbelief.
Just about an hour ago. I brought it to Bill's office first, since I already had a meeting set with him, and I trusted he would know what to do.
Kylie was surprised at how quickly Reinstadt's first name rolled off her tongue, but hoped that she had not overstepped. We'll need to borrow this laptop, said Stuart, now squatting behind Misha to get a better look at eye level. His balding forehead gleamed from the window light. You'll get it back eventually. I want you to walk me through this thing. He turned to Kylie. By the way, you do know that hacking is illegal, right? She nodded.
So I've been told.
How had she been so stupid? She'd arranged her own arrest. Kylie could just imagine her mother's glowering face when she called her for bail.
Look, if it makes any difference, I'm only using this to a good end. That's why I took Simon off the project, since I didn't think he was trustworthy. But if we hadn't used OMG, we'd never have known about any of this.
Stuart nodded.
Who's Simon again?
Kylie's mouth went dry.
Simon Whitehead, the developer who wrote the program. You know, the guy I mentioned that was found dead this morning?
I see. What do you say we look at your program now? Kylie turned to Reinstadt.
Looks like we'll need to reschedule.
Perhaps. Let's see what happens. Thought I might hang in there with you for a while, though. You might need a lawyer. I don't practice criminal law, but I can probably be of some help. This is your laptop, right? Stuart asked Misha.
Misha nodded.
You'll need to give us access. He made a call, and within moments, another agent appeared who led Misha away with his laptop. The two men left Kylie, Reinstadt, and Stuart, and Raymond standing around the table. Kylie could not help but wonder how many criminals had sat in the very same chairs, and how many were now behind bars. This had better go the right. She had no intention of becoming one of them. Have a seat. I need a statement from you, and I want you to tell me everything you know about this. Stuart's request sounded like an order, as his eyes, penetrating Kylie, glinted with suspicion.
Sure.
She gracefully sat down in the chair next to Reinstadt. Stuart turned on the recorder on his phone and laid it on the table. I'm going to tape this, if you don't mind. Do you want me to act as your lawyer? Reinstadt turned to Kylie.
I don't know. Do I need a lawyer?
You might. For now, I would suggest you not answer anything that might incriminate you.
I have nothing to hide, said Kylie. I'm just trying to help. So fine, ask me whatever you want. I might have overstepped in the programming department, but I came here out of my own volition. It's not like I'm a criminal. If the information we have is correct, we don't have lots of time.
Okay, let's go. Stuart pushed some buttons on his phone and spoke into it. Stuart Anderson, agent, interviewing Kylie Maynard, the FBI. William Reinhardt states he is acting as Miss Maynard's attorney. Now, Kylie, I'm going to question you, and please state, are you answering under your free will? Is that correct?
Yes.
Please state your name, address, and phone number. Kylie complied. Kylie, tell me about this database program you created and how you found this potential threat on someone else's computer. Reinstadt turned to Kylie, bugging his eyes as if to say, be careful. He rolled his lips together while waiting. Kylie tried to sound matter-of-fact, as if delivering her spiel at a pitch slam in grad school.
I have a product called OMG. Sometimes people have problems in their lives, and the program helps them figure out what they might do after receiving information based on real data.
Essentially, you're hacking into other people's computers, is that correct?
Not exactly,
she pursed her lips while searching for the right words. Let's stick to the issue here, Lane. You're leading Kylie, Reinstadt interrupted. What she found is that we have an epic public health threat on our hands. Do you really want to noodle around with Miss Maynard about hacking? Let's get on with it. Kylie's forehead felt cold with sweat. She shot Reinstadt a grateful look, but his eyes were downcast, studying the table. Raymond continued. Okay, Kylie, what did you discover? Kylie's phone rang in her purse. She quickly fished it out of her bag, saw it was her mother calling.
Ugh. Allison had a world-class talent for picking the worst moments to call. Kylie set the phone on vibrate and slid it back into her purse where it belonged. "Sorry, that was my mother. So a few days ago, I began to worry my developer might be misusing a program he designed for me. And I investigated him with my program OMG. I discovered he was working with Jerry Fox, who may have had something to do with the murder of Natalie Saltz, his boss at Visiozyme. Then I ran a report on Fox. They both had an encrypted folder titled Lily on their computers. Generally, OMG could open them, but not these two. My developer Simon had made them inaccessible, which I found very weird." Stuart stared at Kylie open-mouthed. Reinstadt drummed his fingers on the table. "So, I wanted to find out what he was hiding, and I hired Misha to open the files and to block Simon from the program. As I'd mentioned, Simon wound up dead soon afterward. He didn't have anything to do with that, but my guess would be that his murder had something to do with what he was working on. We didn't know what it was until Misha just opened the encrypted Lily files this morning. The file contains a plan for a release of a deadly virus on Black Friday. I told Bill as soon as I could, figuring he'd know how to handle it. He called you guys." She cringed inside at how easily she had called the man sitting next to her, Bill. Kylie hoped she hadn't overstepped. "You mentioned there was a lab, right?" Just then, an agent blew into the room, followed by Misha, whose white face appeared squeezed tight with worry. "That's right," the agent said out of breath. "We have an address. We need to move on it now. I've already got a team, and we're going to Chinatown. Kylie and Misha, I'm sorry to say that I'm going to place you under arrest for hacking." Kylie clenched her clammy fists on her lap and looked at Misha. His jaw had tightened as if he had just realized that the thin line they'd been walking between crime-fighting and getting locked up themselves had been crossed. "Wait a minute," Bill interjected. "These two came to me as good citizens because they were trying to stop a crime. You can't keep them here like prisoners. They've already helped you enormously. How about if I take responsibility and keep them in my custody? You can assign someone for protective custody if you want, but I can vouch for them." Kylie shot Bill a grateful look in the brief moment while Stuart thought it over. Misha's face was white with terror. He was already picturing himself being deported. Stuart was quiet for a moment, thinking it over. "I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you out as cooperating witnesses. That means you'll be testifying and reporting everything you know back to us. You'll be informants and will be working with us. The charges have not gone away, but let's see what you can do. Is that clear?" "Yes, of course," Kylie rushed. Stuart narrowed his eyes at Kylie. "Don't think that this is a pass. We're starting an investigation and need to know your absolute whereabouts until this is resolved. Do you understand me?" "Of course," she said, humbled. "Anything." Stuart looked at Misha. "I need your statement, too. We will keep your laptop for now." "No problem," said Misha, staring at the table. Stuart turned the recorder back on and taped Misha's statement. When he was done, he switched it off. "What's the status of your citizenship?" he asked. Misha's voice was constricted. "I came as a student, but my visa expired. I have citizenship papers, but I haven't filled them out. I guess I was afraid I would be deported." "Right. That is possible, you know. We will look into a deferred action until this is resolved. In the meantime, I suggest you start the process." Stuart turned to Reinstadt. "I think we're done here. Keep your eye on these two. Meanwhile, we will be checking them out." Stuart stood up. "Now, if you'll excuse me, we have a case to solve. If you think of anything we have overlooked, call me." He looked at Kylie and Misha. "I want you both to check in with me every 2 hours. Clear?" "Clear," they said in unison. Kylie asked, "Is there anything I can do?" "No, you've done quite enough already," answered Stuart. "But we will want to talk to you some more about your program." "Okay, kids, stay close and keep in touch. I mean it." "Sure, whatever you need." Kylie felt weakened and drained. When Stuart was gone, Reinstadt turned towards Kylie. "For all intents and purposes, I feel responsible for you two. Unfortunately, I'm afraid our meeting about OMG has to be after this all blows over. This Lilly virus is our top priority right now. You can call my office and make an appointment after we get through this. Absolutely, she agreed, relieved to have him there and that OMG was not off the table. What now? Should we come to your office? Kylie secretly loved the idea of spending time in Rheinstadt's orbit. I don't know. I'm thinking just follow me. He led them out of the FBI onto the plaza. About that, I know that you are a responsible citizen, and I assume given your nosiness and need to vet people, that Misha is as well. How would you feel about just hanging out in the lobby of my office and staying out of trouble?
Not great, said Kylie. Look, I promise to let you know our whereabouts. We haven't done anything wrong. We're just trying to help.
I know. Look, how about this? How about you text me every hour or so, just to let me know that you're okay?
Kylie wanted to throw her arms around his neck. That would be great. I will. I promise. No problem.
Rheinstadt gave Kylie his mobile number. Okay, then. Get out of here.
Kylie left with Misha trailing after her.
Now what? I have no idea. Sorry about them keeping your laptop, but I'm sure that you'll get it back.
Not such a big problem. At least I have a desktop computer at home.
Misha was quiet as they walked across Government Center to the parking lot. Do you want to ride somewhere? He finally asked.
Well, being with Misha sounded better than sitting around waiting for news.
Yes, I suppose. I could take the T and go home, but for sure I'm going to just be a wreck. I should be doing something to keep my mind off all of this.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Maybe we could go back to Chinatown. Be really cool to watch what's happening, yes?
Misha asked as they rode the elevator to the tier where he'd parked. She rolled her eyes and articulated her words slowly and with pained patience as if he were a child.
No, that's really a bad idea. Stuart was clear. We're supposed to stay out of trouble. Plus, they've got it under control. We'd be in the way, or Stuart would lock us up. We could even get hurt, she answered, getting into his car.
When her phone buzzed again, she pulled it from her purse to see it was an encore from her mother. She dropped her phone back inside her purse.
Your mother again?
Yes, Kylie decided to ignore the phone. Suddenly, she felt overwhelmed and frightened by what was happening. Misha seemed nice enough, and he was a good encryption guy. But he appeared to have no common sense. She certainly wouldn't feel any safer being with him. She should go home and text Rheinstadt and Stuart.
She sighed. I think I should just go back to my place.
She gave him her address as he paid for parking. He gave her a mischievous grin. Look in my glove compartment. He reached over and popped it open as he turned onto the street.
Kylie looked inside and saw the gray metal of a revolver handle, neatly tucked over his owner's manual. There was also a small packet of tissues, festooned with an array of various colored packages of condoms. This guy was unbelievable.
"Which thing was it you wanted to show me?" she asked sarcastically as the car headed down Cambridge Street.
"The gun, of course. It will make us safe if we go down there."
Was he delusional? What planet are you on, Misha? No, I don't think so. I'm an entrepreneur, not a cops and robbers person. This could be dangerous, and we should stay out of it. I think you must have watched too many movies.
She decided then to keep her eye on him to make sure the clown didn't erupt into some macho gunman.
It was just a short drive, and soon they reached Marlborough Street.
That's it over there. She pointed to a building looking dark and unloved compared to the mansions around it.
Why do you keep a gun? She pointed to his glove box as he double-parked.
Can't really say.
Great. You're here illegally and you have a gun?
Right then. Great combination. Can you say why you keep condoms in there?
Ha ha ha. You're so funny. You know, I could get lucky sometime.
Actually, it is good to be prepared. He angled his smile at her and dimpled one of his cheeks into a lopsided grin.
Kylie unbuckled her seatbelt. Thanks for the advice. Listen, stay close to your phone. Where will you be in case anything comes up?
I'm in Brookline. Not far, so call me. By the way, nice job explaining everything back there. Guess you're more than a pretty face, yes?
He peered over the tops of his aviator shades.
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact. I have a body, too, as you were evidently checking out. Hey, thanks for the ride.
Kylie shook her head as she climbed out of the car. Could not help it. What can I say? You're cute. This really isn't the time, Misha. She shut his door a bit harder than necessary. Easy with that. She let herself into her building. When she reached her landing, Kylie was horrified to find her door ajar. She was even more shocked to see a middle-aged man with a ponytail sitting on her couch, pointing a .22 caliber at her. Stepping inside, the room reeked from his musky cologne.
"Hi, Kylie," he said quietly. "I'm Jerry Fox. I understand you know all about me."